Welcome back. It is part two of Relationship and Doctoring. And today we're going to dive a little bit deeper into what we are talking about, relationship with your doctor. So if you're not sure what that means, is do you feel comfortable enough to pick up the phone and call your doctor and that you're actually going to get an answer back within a few minutes, or maybe a text back, depending on the technology that you're using today? So we're going to talk about having that relationship where there's honesty, loyalty, and true communication between the two of you. Have a blessed day and subscribe.
Welcome, buddy, to another edition of Everyday Health Hacker. I'm Mike Herzing, and this nice young lady next to me is the amazing Dr. Lisa Liao.
Hello, Mike. Welcome back.
All right. You're going to hit it again?
Yes. We're going to go to section two.
All right. Dr. Liao, Chief Medical Officer right here at Meridian Health Institute in Sugar Land, Texas, and she is chomping at the bit. She is ready. I mean, get out of the way. Put me in, coach. I am ready to play.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. You know, one of the things that I'll hear from new patients is that the previous doctor, you know, the reason why new patients come to us is that maybe they've moved to the area. They are out of relationship with the previous doctor, or maybe they're looking for, or they've had a referral. So those are the three main reasons why they come to see us.
Let's talk about out of relationship. We were
Let's just joke about that earlier.
The doctor ghosted you.
And you know, that happens more often than people think, where they feel ghosted from their doctor, that they're not receiving a return call. They're in the hospital, and they've asked for the doctor to come by, and they're not getting any messages. Is it the nurses that aren't conveying the message? Because that does happen. Number two, is it that the doctor already rounded on them and they were asleep, so they didn't know what the doctor said? So a couple of things that if you are in the hospital setting that I want you to do, and you're not feeling like you're getting the care that you want to have, is before you go in, you need to have a checklist. And if you don't know what that checklist is, I encourage, we're going to... Actually, that's going to be another segment. Okay. What is the checklist before you go into the hospital? We'll get that as section three.
Check.
So one of the things that we're going to do is that you're going to ask them, you know, what pain medications are you going to do? How long should you be expected to be into the hospital? Should you have an advocate with you in your room, which may be a spouse, a loved one, somebody that's there to care for you while you're sleeping, because sleeping allows you to restore. Let's say that you've done the checklist, the doctor still hasn't come by, or maybe the doctor came by and his associate's on call that night and they're not returning the calls. So one of the first things that I always encourage everybody to know if the administrator, there is a 24-hour on-call administrator at every hospital, and that number is published. If you can't get a hold of them, one of the things that I've been known to do in the past is go to LinkedIn and send every administrator that is part of LinkedIn a message about there is a mutual patient and this is my concern. Granted, that is a private message. The patient's name is not in there. I have been known to do that, and that's how I'll have a CEO call me to say, I am so sorry, what can we do to help? That's a good CEO, and we appreciate them. Now, there's others that won't answer, so that's the person that will say, administrator's not talking, so let me go ahead and get involved as their primary care doctor, and we'll transfer them out of that hospital to somewhere else because they're not getting the care that they need. And there is a shortage of nurses. We understand that, but communication is key. The nurses have the phone number, the cell number to every one of those doctors. Their office line has the ability to go to an on-hold and a transfer line. So there's no reason why you shouldn't be getting a return call. Now, if you happen to say, you know, gosh, I'm in pain, they've already given me pain medication, and you just need to wait 20 or 30 minutes, you know, that's a little bit, and that's where your advocate that's with you, that's a spouse, a loved one, can help keep you calm during that time where you're restoring. So that's a little bit different issue. And I'm talking about where you're not getting answers and you feel like you've been ghosted.
Right. No kidding. But I mean, it also, you sometimes you'll end up at shift change.
Yes.
And that nurse didn't tell the next nurse, and the message never got relayed, or one of those kind of things is part of it. And you end up having to sit at the hospital when you're maybe, you could have been discharged, and the discharge papers
Correct.
Weren't there.
Because you need to be discharged by a certain time to not be charged an extra day.
An extra day, and then the insurance company gets ticked off. And
Correct.
It just turns into a world of hurt.
And that's part of the checklist, is knowing when shift change is.
Right.
Because you want all of your questions asked before. And make sure that when the new person is coming in that they have been,
right.
Did they share? You know, that's
yes.
a great one. Did they share? Not did they tell you? Because when you say, did they tell you? then they're going to turn off and they're going to just kind of go right back out of your room. So, you know, just wanted to make sure that they shared about, I'm going to be needing X, Y, and Z. That's a beautiful, lovely way to communicate.
Just like, ask for help. I need your help on something. Don't tell them anything. Mm-hmm. Ask for their help. And that takes them off the defensive. Mm-hmm. And they're not quite as irritated because, you know, they've got everybody yelling. It's like everybody pulling on their coattails. Mm-hmm. What can I do? You know, need this. I need this. Me.
And your nurses just are tired.
They're tired.
You know,
they've
gone through COVID. And thankfully, we have them and that they love their profession, and it truly is a calling. So I'll never forget the angels that I've had while being in the hospital years and years ago. I just so appreciate that. But I know a lot of our nurses are tired. A lot of our nurses have gone to traveling nurses, which is kind of fun because you get a new face and a new excitement because they love what they're doing. So be kind to your nurses. And they're the ones that are relaying the information. So if you have a plan of action, you're able to say these are the phone messages that I need to get through, or these are the people that need to go to the next level, which is calling the administrator at the hospital. An advocate will come down. They need to come down within 60 minutes to come in and find out what's going on. Now, let's say that doesn't work.
No, the patient advocate doesn't work.
Let's say the patient advocate doesn't work. Call for security and put a report in. That will get their attention.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
It's not the way you want to go.
It's not
to say that I haven't had a patient do that, but it truly works, and it gets people involved at a higher level because it's an emergent need and it's an emergent ask. So there's lots of ways. I'm not saying that's where you start, that it is your last bastion to say, I need to put in a report to security. Can you have security call me? And then you ask security, I need to get a hold of the administrator. And I promise you, they can get a hold of the administrator.
Yeah, that starts a big...
It starts a big to-do.
Yeah, that's a big storm.
And especially if I've already gone through LinkedIn. But it's wonderful how many CEOs and administrators, vice presidents, presidents have contacted us back, gotten the information, and took care of it. And we understand that doctors all have emergencies. You know, they may have had to take a loved one to the hospital, but there's still somebody on call for them, and they are trained to do the right thing.
Sure. And then you never know when somebody comes into the ER and there's a shooting or this or that, and there's only so many doctors, and they got called in on something that was, I hate to say, more important.
Well, it's triage.
More urgent than
it
than
is.
You.
It means that you're okay for right now,
right.
But we do triage, and you are taught that in school. You're taught that through residency.
Right.
When we do major catastrophe drills here in our city, you know, we go through that again. It's a constant learning process. And as new medications, new drugs, new services come about, you know, we're also learning about all of those things too. In addition to our continued education that we have to keep for our license, for our board certifications. So I'm not touting that poor me. I am sharing with you that nurses and doctors and people in healthcare love what they do. They continue education because they're enjoying serving others. But some of them may have a bad day. They might be in a difficult chapter in their lives, and that's why in having a good relationship, you know, you might just want to ask the doctor, how are you doing today?
You know, nobody else does.
I love that my patients do ask me, and I'm so grateful that they do, and it's nice to be able to share, you know, the great things about grandkids and the things we're excited about, too.
There you go. I have a question. You mentioned something earlier, even on the last segment, about corporate doctoring.
Corporate doctoring.
What's the advantage or disadvantage of that when people, and a lot of people may not know about corporate doctoring.
So when I was in medical school 30 years ago, corporate doctoring was a brand new thing. It was a brand new thing. And what it was what back then we would call the HMO doctoring. Now we call it corporate doctoring, where you had to get permission to go to the next doctor. Here in Texas, we've got Methodist, Baylor, we've got Scott and White, we have Kelsey Siebold. Out on the different coasts, we have different things. And a lot of times when people get out of school, it's really hard for them to afford to go into private practice.
Yeah.
You know, we were already in debt, and then to take another debt may be very hard if you have a young family. So it's going into private practice is not for everyone. Going into corporate doctoring is usually where you have the support. They've already hired all your personnel. You just have to show up and doctor.
You're an employee.
However, you're going to have to do it on their terms, which means you have certain numbers. We call it KPI, which is key performance. markers. So we all have that in running a business, but we also have to personalize what we do. That's why relationship for us is number one. And in corporate doctoring, sometimes you're going to feel like you're a number. Not all the time, but sometimes you are going to feel like a number. And so that may not be the right fit for you. If you're a young doctor that is listening to this and you're wanting to go to private practice, there are a lot of organizations out there that can help you to transition to do that. Yes, it's another check that you're going to have to write. It's a big difference between getting your education and getting your education to run business. So in corporate doctoring, there are going to be some rules. If you are in an HMO plan, you're going to have to go to your primary care to get to that next referral. So that's where, again, you can have a good relationship with that doctor in a short amount of time. That's where the doctor looks at you and has eye contact and is listening and getting you to a doctor that they feel comfortable themselves going to.
That's, what a concept.
That I think is very important. In private practice, we know where we're choosing to send you for that referral. And if we're not willing to go ourselves, we're not going to send you. So
I just thought something funny, and I started to giggle about you being in corporate medicine. I started to laugh. It'd be a sitcom. This would be like something by Carol Burnett. It would be hilarious watching you in corporate medicine.
You know, a person told me, and I remember this
a week.
Strongly, because I was in kindergarten. In kindergarten, I already knew what college I was going to, and I knew I was going to medical school. So I was very driven. Is Christ-driven, and they said that, you know, you don't like to take orders. And it's true, I don't like taking orders. However, I do like building a team, and that's very different. And in corporate medicine, you're going to take orders. In our culture, we're going to build a team, and everybody's going to have a voice.
I understand. You just want your patients to be happy and well. And
yes,
in
optimal
corporate
health.
Medicine, you have happy, well, but also within a certain time limit.
It's one problem at a time, make an appointment for the next problem. Right. And I think there's so many problems that go together. And so what we have to do is put the picture together so that we can diagnose appropriately. And we're in practice. So practice means that we're better tomorrow than we were today because we're learning every single day.
Absolutely.
So that's the part of it. You know, it's not necessarily a misdiagnosis. It's trying to get all the diagnoses to fit together so that we can find what's going out to get to the root and pull the root out.
Right. You can use this information to maybe have a better relationship with your medical professional. You go into the hospital, you maybe make it a little bit smoother now that you have a little bit more information. The whole thing, just this is something that you need to keep in the back of your brain. For
make
next time you have that and your list,
yes.
We'll talk
have
about
a list. Have an emergency
episode,
list.
Which
absolutely.
We can do next.
Yeah, that'll be part of the playlist.
All right, so if you have any other questions, info@everydayhealthhacker.com. You should send us an email, I promise you. They will get to it, and the doctor here will get to it and send it right back. As always, thanks for joining.
And we hope you'll subscribe.
Absolutely, and check out the next one.